Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. You can turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I will be reading chapters 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians. Encourage you to follow along as I read. I will pray. I will read these passages with some thoughts of my own as I'm doing my own devotional reading through this, and then follow with some applicational thoughts for myself, and encourage you to do the same, and then I will close in prayer. Father, thank you for a new day and an opportunity to read your word. May your Spirit help me to understand these passages of Scripture, even through just a reading, and help me to know how to put them into practice today. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 13. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Well, just in that beginning, it's pretty obvious that any kind of service to God, any kind of sacrifice, even any kind of gift, because he just went through some spiritual gifts in chapter 12, it's nothing unless we have love. Well, what is love? Verse 4, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Pause there for a moment at the end of chapter 13. In verses 4 to 7, just a great description of the characteristics of love. And it's challenging to me. And convicting to me just as I read those words and think about how often I fall short of that. And then the idea that love never fails, it gives some things that will fail, that will fall away. When that which is complete comes, or when that which is perfect comes, these things fall away. There's been different ideas as to what that is, whether it's completed scripture, or whether it's when Jesus comes, but it seems like I'd lean more towards Jesus, especially in verse 12, as it talks about, then we will see face to face, then we will be fully known. But the things that remain when all passes away, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. Chapter 14, we're still now in the context here of spiritual gifts. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries of the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, What good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as a pipe or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there's a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If, then, I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else, who's now put in a position of an inquirer, say, Amen, to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking be adults. In the law it is written, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners I will speak to this people, but even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues then are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. I'll just pause there for a moment, because this is one of those passages that causes quite a bit of confusion, especially if it's taken out of context of the rest of Scripture. I just need to remember here that we're talking about spiritual gifts. And he does talk about tongues, which is also something hard for many to understand. But I think the key things that come out of just a devotional reading, as opposed to a Bible study or looking at all of Scripture as it relates to this issue, is just to remember in context here, it's saying that that some of these gifts are ones that people may want more than others, but there's some that are more important than others. And the ones that are interpreted, the ones that are given clearly to people, believers and unbelievers, are going to build up believers and be able to help unbelievers know the kind of worship that we're having, that's very important. All right, let's continue. Verse 26. What shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in tongue, 2 or at least 3 should, at the most 3 should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. 2 or 3 prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. Women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. All right, now, guys, any of you men, no jokes right now. And women, don't get too worried. Verse 36, or did the word of God originate with you? Or are you the only people it has reached? If anyone thinks they are a prophet or otherwise gifted by the Spirit, let them acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. But if anyone ignores this, they will themselves be ignored. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. All right, again, let me just point out in context here I think the points Paul is making. Remember that in 1 Corinthians, there's abuse of all kinds of things. And that includes worship, abuse of the Lord's table, abuse of the spiritual gifts. And so he's warning them because obviously there were issues there. They were not doing things in an orderly way. Now, again, you've got to put the whole study of women in the church in context. God is not saying things against women here. He's not discriminating against them, nor is the Apostle Paul. But he's reminding them of abuse that was going on, that wasn't that the women couldn't actually say anything, but that in terms of them giving prophecy, in terms of them speaking God's word that had been revealed in the church, that God had reserved that for men, not because they were any better at it, but because that was his desire for us to play those roles, just as we play different roles in marriage, no one better than the other. And he also reminds them that if they're going to speak in tongues, there needs to be an interpreter. So if you're in worship and someone is speaking in tongues with no interpreter, you know that it's out of order. And I think you can study it further to find, especially in the book of Acts, where we have the three instances where tongues are spoken in public, that these were actual languages that they did not previously know. And then you could interpret them for those who had that gift. Okay. And he also lets people know when they're prophesying, it's not just people standing up and say, this is what God told me, but that the other prophets, that those who have that gift, those that are pastors, those that are elders that are there, those that have been given that gift will know if this is a prophecy that fits into God's word or not. So let you do further study on that. So for me, in chapters 13 and 14, what certainly comes back to me is chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. And this is what I'm going to focus on today. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Father, today I want to show love like that, the love that Jesus showed, the love that he showed as he died on the cross. Father, I pray that you will help me through your Spirit to love that way. May you be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen.